rooted in what? And grounded where? In love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what's the breadth and length, depth and height, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So he wants you to stay in that power. He wants you walking in love. See, the scripture says that you're supposed to be rooted and grounded in love. The thing about being rooted is that when you are rooted, you're not easily moved. Ain't no any storm can uproot you. When you're rooted, I'm going to tell you, you can take wind, rain, it don't matter what come against you, you're just solid. Right? So we're supposed to be rooted and grounded. I mean firmly attached in love that can't nothing pull us out of our love walk. How many know Satan bring a lot of things to pull you out of your love walk? I mean, he don't want you walking in love. That's why he'll let that hurt somewhere inside you, and he'll keep reminding you of the hurt. Somebody did you wrong. Have you singing that song, somebody done me wrong song. Have you singing it, boy, humming it. But you got to be rooted and grounded in love. And once you forgive, I had a young lady, and she stopped me. She said, Pastor Greg, can I have a few minutes of your time? She lived out of town. She said, I got a real problem. I'm bitter. I've been hurt, and I can't let it go. Somebody did something to me. My husband told me I just need to let it go. Can you help me? I said, yes, ma'am. Let me show you how to forgive. Forgiveness is an act of the will. That's how the Lord led me to minister to her. Forgiveness is an act of the will. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's a declaration of you deciding to let it go and to ask God to bless that person. I said, every time the devil reminds you about what that person did to you, I said, pray for him. Amen. I said, he'll stop reminding you. I said, hurt him. Hit him. Hit him where it hurt. Hit him hard. I mean, go after him with a vengeance. So I learned that through an experience I had where someone took advantage of me and really didn't deal honestly with me and CeCe and beat us out of some money. And I was going to get him back through the court system. You know, I wasn't going to fight him. I'd probably kill him if I did that. I'd be in jail. I have a real jail ministry. I wasn't that bad. But I was mad at him. Oh, I was mad, and that seed was working. Oh, that seed was working. That seed was working big time. Working! And then the Lord started ministering to me. He said, I want you to let it go. Drop the lawsuit. Drop it. He said, I'll make it up to you. The money he took from you, I'll make it up to you. I said, okay. I said, CeCe, I think the Lord wants us to just, let's just let it go. And I said, we're going to do it. And we agreed. I said, let's pray. Let's release him of this debt he owes. Let's release him from this lawsuit we got on him. And let's just let it go. And we did. And when we prayed, I saw a black cloud come off me. That root was gone. That seed was gone. And I said, that was a burden. I was carrying it, and I didn't even know it. Because if you had to ask me, you burdened about anything? I said, oh, no, I'm fine. Sometimes you got stuff on you, you don't even know that. But God knows that, and he'll give you an instruction to get rid of it.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KKAYT 88.1 FM. 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations. 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
The Lord, praise the Lord, hallelujah. But you stand to your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh for this another opportunity to hear your word. Meet us again in the text and tell of the truth that we're teaching, that every hearer's heart might hear and heed what you have prepared to say to us. And then, God, let us be ever so careful to practice the principles and give you the praise that we might profit from them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Glory to God. I'm preaching from Proverbs 22 and verse 6 today. And I'm talking about training up a child 101. Training up a child 101. And it says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. I've heard this particular text spoken, rehearsed, shared many times, and there perhaps have been a lot of misunderstanding about the text or misinterpretation of the text, especially from parents who have perhaps done the best they could with rearing a child, and it appeared that the child veered off and never came back to the path. And I oftentimes have to remind them that it ain't over with yet. And that once you know your role and responsibility as a trainer, and the child knows his or her responsibility as the trainee, then you'll understand the rest is in God's hand. What is clear here is there are two views, a macro view, which is a large view of the whole text, which talks about involvement and responsibility of the trainer or parents or grandparents or guardians or godparents or adoptive parents or foster parents or whomever they may be, and the child. But then it also talks at the end of this verse about investment returns, because it makes clear that all that they have done in the beginning won't be lost, but rather fruitful in the end. What is also important is to understand that the first part of this verse deals with the foundation. And what's important about the foundation is understanding the relationship that must be realized between the trainer and the trainee, or the parent and the child. It says train. Another word for train is discipline. Discipline. In order to discipline, one must be disciplined. The trainer must be trained in order to train. And when the trainer knows what he or she is doing, then it's easier to train. So it starts off with helping us understand that we've got to know what we're doing in order to train up a child in the way he should go. And one of the things that we think, or I think is important, is that we understand that God has given us his word so that we can understand God's principles. Therefore, practicing the principles and thus profiting from them makes us successful in every area of our lives. Nobody comes here just knowing it. You got to learn it. And so as a parent or one of a kin, must understand that you've got to know what your role is, your job is, in order to be the best trainer, teacher, leader that you must be for the child. It also says train up, and this word or phrase train up has another word connected with it called dedication. So you've got discipline and dedication. The trainer must have both discipline and dedication to make sure that the trainee or the child continues the training until they're complete. You see, to start a training and not finish a training does not get the job done. And it takes dedication on behalf of the trainer, who needs to be all that he or she needs to be, to give the encouragement, to give the strength, to give the focus to the person or child that is being trained, and thereby understand that they can't give up till the job is complete. See, that's one of the reasons why you've got to understand, if God blesses you with this role, then it's your responsibility to learn to be the best trainer, because God has given you a gift, and what he has done is given you the provisions to see how you will develop the gift that he's given to you. Make no mistake about it, the older folk had it right. They knew that when you were reared in their house, you bore their name. Some resemblance, some training, some teaching should also be a part of your life, so that when folks saw the children, they knew who the parents were or knew how the children should act because of the training they received at home. And neighbors would also know that if the child didn't act right, they knew to tell the parents, because the parents wasn't going to put up with the child acting a fool out in the street and they not doing something about it when they get home. And so many of those days are gone because of our modern techniques of training and teaching and so forth. But back with this word discipline, God said it clearly. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Again, people think, oh, well, you're not supposed to spank your child, beat your child, hit your child. Okay, well, that's not what the word of God says. But, you know, you've got these certain groups that think that, you know, timeout works for everybody. Timeout don't work for some of us. Now, if timeout works and that's your discipline, that's wonderful. Not a problem. But you got to know some of us need something a little stronger than timeout. If you understand that discipline is a part of correcting, discipline is a part of you giving them the proper foundation. Discipline is a part of backing up the principle that you're teaching. Then that discipline is a part of training. When you discipline them, it doesn't just mean in the negative, it means in the positive as well. You reward them when they do well, but then you discipline when they do wrong, so that they will know the difference between the two. When they please you, they ought to know that that it corresponds with blessings. When they disappoint you, they ought to know that that corresponds with some kind of manner of discipline, because you love them enough not to let them have their own way. Parents have got to learn they can't be their children's friend. I'm your mother, I'm your father, I'm not your girl, I'm not your boy, I'm not your homie, I'm not your none of that, I'm your daddy, I'm your mama. and we're going to keep the roles separate. We ain't going shopping together and you can't tell my clothes from your clothes. We're not going to hang out and you're not going to talk to me like you're talking to one of your girlfriends or one of your boys. No, no, no. There is a difference between the two. And you as a trainer, as a parent, must set the stage and keep them separated. I don't care nothing about you being my friend. You my child. My job, my role from God is to do what God has given me the privilege and the responsibility to do. That's to train you, to rear you, to raise you in the fear and admonition of the Lord. I don't care what your other friends, mama let them do and daddy let them do. I don't care what they let them, how they let them act and how they let them dress and where they let them go and how long they let them stay out, how long they let them stay on the phone. I don't care nothing about what they're doing in their house. What matters is what goes on in this house. Mama used to tell us, you know what? When the street lights come on, you better be making it in the house. You know, and I was kind of big for my age. And I tried my mama a few times, and you know, and I'd be out there playing, and you know, some fellas and them, they didn't have no curfews like talking about. They could hang out, and I was, you know, pretty big and looked like I was probably older than I was, and mama would be in that door looking like, okay, we're gonna see what you're gonna do. And you know, I was smart enough, even though I didn't want to be embarrassed, to act like I did, you know, I knew I was supposed to be inside when the lights came on. So when it's coming that time or whatever, we playing football or we out there talking, I'd be like, look, man, let me go inside, give me something to drink. I ain't want to say, look, I got to go inside. I just never came back after I got my drink. Mama didn't play that. You know, and whatever you do, you know, you need to let them know you got standards in your house. But you know, I thank God now, and I've said this to my mother, I don't know how many times, I thank you for the discipline, especially for boys, discipline. Because a lot that they understand and respect comes from a mother as well as from a father. And so there are some things, again, that you need to understand in discipline that follows through. Dedication is important too, because you can't start it and stop it. You've got to stay with it. You've got to stick with it when it gets rough and tough. You got to stick with it. Sometimes you want to take them and throw them in jail yourself. You want to throw your hands up in the air and wave them like you just don't care. Be like, go ahead on. I don't care no more. You know, you get for any real parents in the house today. Know that your children can work your last nerve. Can make you so mad you want to fuss and cuss. Can I ask somebody to be real with me here? Can get so mad you just call on Jesus and then you... Sometimes you have to steal away and cool out. Because if you put your hands on them, they'll be picking you up for child abuse. But you got to stick with it. Be faithful to the end. Why is that important? Because your children depend on you to guide them right. Child doesn't know the best way. And some children are smart enough to tell you, you know, when you let them have their way too much, well, you the parent. And then you want to drop them then. But no, that's you gave them too much room from Jump Street to come up with that to you. No, you need to rear them in a way that honors God and respects you. And that means to continue the practice. Listen, train up a child. It means from infancy to adolescence. Those are the foundational years. That's when their little minds are very supple and very bendable and pliable. That's when their little minds are like sponges, absorbent. That's when they are able to be shaped and they are able to be molded. That's when they are the easiest to bring up in the way that they ought to go. Anybody that did a little home gardening know that you plant certain vines and certain trees, and as they begin to take shape and grow up, sometimes they grow crooked. And old folk would take a piece of stick or a pole or something and tie it to them until that suckling or that little sapling, little tree, little vine becomes strong enough and starts growing straight. And once it starts growing straight, they can untie them. Some of you got to tie your children. I don't literally mean tie them up. I mean with principles. When you see them going wrong, correct them. Don't wait until they're totally wrong before you start the correction. When you see them bending in the wrong direction, that's when the correction needs to begin. It's much easier to correct them then than it will be after they have grown crooked. When you've seen some trees that have grown almost sideways, it's because they were left too long to themselves without correction. And here came the problem then that you had to deal with. Leave them like that or break them, which meant to destroy them. And see, if you would do it in a timely fashion, being dedicated to watch them and do, you ought to know what goes on in your house. So much stuff happens right in your own house, and you don't even know about it. Not connected with the children. Don't sit down and we don't eat together no more and talk and discuss the day's events. What happened at school, who your friends are. Don't know what they're doing on the computer. Don't check on them. Just leave them to themselves to rear themselves up. And so the internet rears them. The television rears them. The rappers rear them. I mean, the magazines rear them. They've got all of these other partners rearing them, and the one who's most needed is not doing their part. And so parents have got to realize God is holding you responsible for being dedicated to rearing you. That means you got to make sacrifices. That means when you have the baby, you done cut out your street activities. That means that now that you have a baby, you can't run and have fun like you used to do because you have responsibility now. That means you can't just throw your baby off on mama or on grandmama. No, I can't go, girl. Because I have a baby to take care of. See, the boy, he's still out there having fun. But here's where you need to realize, again, that it's necessary for your responsibility to be toward that child. Child didn't ask to come here. Dr. Caesar Clark dealt with this issue of illegitimacy. Say, how can you call the baby illegitimate when the baby didn't have nothing to do with coming here? Baby didn't have nothing to do with picking who his parents were. Baby didn't have nothing to do with the timing of his birth. When the baby knew anything, the baby was here. The only problem, a fault of the baby was born. That's the only fault you can mourn, fault the baby for being born. But it's the parents who were illegitimate when they did not provide for that baby the kind of home for that baby to get the proper training in. And so even then, you still have a right and a responsibility to give that child the best environment that that child can have, to make it the best that he or she can in this world. The child didn't mess up, you did. The child didn't make a mistake, you did. Don't blame the child, blame you. And get over you and take care of the child. That's the reality. Yeah, I thought the claps would be few round up in this part. Listen. Train up a child in the way he should go. Child does not know which way to go. They may think they know which way to go, but they don't know which way to go. They deserve a parent who is looking out for their future to point them in the right direction, in the way they should go. That has to do with directives and directions. Directives that give them the understanding of knowing what they should do and what they should not do, holding both benefits and correction when they obey and disobey. They understand, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, thank you, manners. All of the directives about life, they start understanding those commands in their founding years. These are foundational principles that will carry them throughout their lives. Teaching them how to be mannerable, respectful, honorable are all foundational issues that they learn as little children. Our problem is we don't think that children can learn at an early age when life proves differently. History and science have proven different to us. You start reading to a baby while it's yet in the mother's womb, that baby is again known to become much more prone to reading, prone to studying, prone to learning. You play classical music, that child learns refinement. All of the things that you think that child is not getting, he's getting through the ears and eyes and the waves of that mother going into that child. And when you bring that child and expose that child to the finer, the better things, the higher things in life, that child begins that at an age where they are foundationally learning everything. See, we can program our children to be successful and we can program them to be failures. We can talk down to our children or we can talk up to our children. We can tell our children they are nothing, will never be nothing, will never accomplish nothing, and they will live up to our expectations. Or you can tell them you can be anything you want to be if you apply yourself, study hard, and do the right thing. Nothing shall be impossible to you. When you begin to share this, and listen, nothing means more than to get that from the parent, the trainer, the person that believes in them before they believe in themselves. Heard Shaq the other day, receiving some award here in Baton Rouge, and he wanted to thank two people. First, his mama for believing in him when he didn't believe in himself, and then Dale Brown, who came in and on the base in Germany and saw him and believed in him when he didn't believe in himself. Well, now, these were two people at two critical points that both were trainers in his life. Listen, that he took on the mentality of the trainer. He didn't know what he could be, but they knew. And they groomed him in the way of that training, which then he grew into and became what they spoke and what they saw. You've got to look at the good in your child. I don't care what the daddy or the mama looks like. You got to look at the child and say, there's greatness in this child because of me. You at least have had.